proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Offman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio broadcast. We continue the study we began last week on the Lord's Prayer. That particular passage in Scripture contains this affirmation. Jesus Christ taught his disciples that they needed to yearn for God's kingdom to come to earth. What does the Bible mean when it refers to a kingdom? Jesus Christ spoke about two such kingdoms, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. What differences, if any, existed between those two domains? Sometimes the two expressions were used interchangeably. After Jesus Christ's conversation with the rich young ruler, as recorded in Matthew 19, he informed his disciples that, quote, a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven, unquote. In the very next verse, though, he told them, quote, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, unquote. The Savior apparently regarded the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God as comprising the same entity, at least in that context. Yet the two phrases did not entirely mean the same thing. When Matthew wrote his gospel, he addressed it in large measure to a Jewish audience. Whenever a Jew heard references to a kingdom, he might remember how God vowed to set up a worldwide dominion. Several Old Testament verses pointed to a time when this divine promise would indeed come to pass. In Jeremiah chapter 23, for instance, God told the Jews that, quote, I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth, unquote. At that time, according to the 14th chapter of Zechariah, quote, the Lord shall be king over all the earth, unquote. The term kingdom of heaven thus depicted a future earthly state that would be ruled by a scion or descendant from the house of David. However, God himself would exercise worldwide sovereignty. Only Jesus Christ met both requirements, being from the house of David and being God. By contrast, the phrase kingdom of God denoted a sovereignty that existed entirely in the spiritual realm. The author of Psalm 103 exclaimed that, quote, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all, unquote. Note the location of God's throne in those verses, namely in heaven, not on earth. Note also the present reality of God's dominion in that passage. It's the author said that God ruleth, not will rule. In the 17th chapter of Luke, the author recorded a narrative. A group of Pharisees asked Jesus Christ when the kingdom of God would arrive. In reply, the Savior said, quote, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That word translated within literally meant within the midst of. The Lord's statement in Luke's gospel appeared to confirm the non-physical aspect of the kingdom of God. That is to say, a divine sovereignty exercised over the lives of those who believe in Jesus Christ. To which kingdom did the Lord then refer in his model prayer, the Lord's Prayer? It's possible he could have alluded to both the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. In both cases, whether physically on earth or spiritually within the hearts of a believer, God would direct his perfect will on earth to be done, as God does in heaven. In other words, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven would both manifest themselves on earth. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.